Open your Bibles to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts for the text of our lesson this afternoon. Acts chapter 16, we're going to read verses 6 through 15 for the text of our lesson. And we're going to come back to part of this, to verses 6 through 10, or actually going down through 6 through 11 later in the lesson, because it has a direct bearing on something that is said in verse 14 that I want to call our attention to. But if you will, read with me now, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. Now here's what I want to make special note of. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. That's the reading of Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. This is the one of the examples of salvation or cases of conversion that are recorded in the book of Acts, where the specific statement is made concerning a person that became a disciple of Christ. The Lord opened this person's heart. Now, I had a written debate with a fat fellow who happens to be a friend of mine, by the way. He lives in Syracuse, New York, and he's a Calvinist. And he believes that people are born depraved, totally hereditarily depraved, and unable at all to respond savingly, they will say, to the gospel message. And so, according to his doctrine, the Lord has to send the Holy Spirit miraculously, directly, and supernaturally into the hearts of those whom He has chosen to save. They believe in predestination and foreordination. And He opens their hearts miraculously, supernaturally, by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, and as the result, when the gospel is preached to them, then they are able to understand it, believe it, and obey it. But according to their doctrine, the doctrine of Calvinism, and a number of denominations accept that doctrine. In fact, it really is the basis for Protestant denominationalism, although most Protestants have now gotten away from it. But according to them, that nobody is able to really believe and obey the gospel until the Lord miraculously, supernaturally sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts and regenerates us, converts us by the direct power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a case that they will appeal to, as I see. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. Well, I want you to notice to begin with, the passage does not say specifically how the Lord opened her heart. But I believe that you can discern from the context, and that's all I want to do as far as answering the question of how the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, is go to the context itself and see what is there in the context of this passage that is unusual, that involved obviously the activity of the Lord, that it could be said, the Lord opened her heart. And by the way, I'm going to definitely agree with one thing. There are some supernatural things involved here. There are some miraculous things involved in this passage. And so we want to look at that in the remainder of our time in the lesson today. But when we could start to consider how the Lord opened Lydia's heart, and that's what we want to know about. How did the Lord open the heart of Lydia? The first thing I want to ask the question is, well, what is the Bible heart? Usually when people talk about their heart, they say, oh, I feel something deep down in my heart. And they'll pat their chest where the blood pump is that circulates the blood around the body. Now, of course, there is something that we call the heart in our chest. But is that what it's talking about when it says the Lord opened Lydia's heart? Did she have some clogged veins and the Lord miraculously took care of that so that she didn't have to have open heart surgery? Is that what the Lord did in the case of Lydia so that it says the Lord opened her heart? Well, let's begin by seeing what the Bible heart is that has a part in our salvation. Go over to Matthew chapter 13, please, and look there at verse 15. And Matthew chapter 13 are some of the parables that Jesus taught. The entire chapter are a number of parables taught by the Lord. And the first one is the parable of the sower, and it occupies the most time or the most space. And it also is the one that shows us the key to understanding all parables. First, Jesus told the parable of the sower about the seed falling on different kinds of soil. Then he told the disciples why he talked in parables and the things about our heart and how the heart has to be open to receive the seed. And then he interpreted for us the parable of the sower. That goes all the way down through verse 23. But look in verse 15. This is Matthew 13, verse 15. He says, and he's quoting from Isaiah, by the way, the hearts of this people have grown dull. And he says, furthermore, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed. Now, if we look at that physically, we might say, those folks are getting old. They've got heart trouble, they've got ears they can't hear with, they've got eyes they can't see with. And see, I know all of those problems from a physical standpoint. They're just getting old. But that's not what Jesus is talking about, is it? Read on, let's see what he's talking about. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should, notice carefully please, understand with their hearts and turn. The old King James Version says be converted. The New King James rightly translates that turn. That the word is active, and to be converted means to turn. It's something we do. It's turning to God. So in order for them to turn to God, they had to understand with their hearts. And then he says, so that I should heal them. Well, now, the heart that he's talking about here, Matthew 13, verse 15, is the heart that we understand with. Do we understand with the blood pump in our chest? That has nothing to do with understanding, does it? Rather, if we understand, if you want to talk about the heart that has to do with our salvation, then you need to point at your head. That's where that heart is located. The heart that we understand with, understand God's Word with, so that we can turn and Lord will heal us of our sins. Well, let's go to another passage that's parallel to this. Turn over to Romans chapter 10 and look there at verse 10. This is Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, for with the heart, all right, here's the function of the heart. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do we believe with the blood pump in our chest? Is that the part of our anatomy where faith comes from? That has nothing to do with our faith, does it? But rather, again, if you want to talk about the heart with which we believe, then you need to point to your head. That's where that heart is located. So he's not talking about the physical heart that's in our chest. He's talking about the spiritual heart, our minds, the faculties with which we understand and with which we believe. And that's what it's talking about, obviously, in the case of Lydia. He's not saying the Lord performed on her a miraculous open heart surgery, but rather he's saying that the Lord did something that caused her to understand and to believe what she needed to know and understand in order to be saved. Well, how then was her heart closed? Now remember, we're not talking about the blood pump. We're talking about the head. We're talking about the mind. Her heart had to be opened. In some way then, her heart was closed. How was her heart or her mind closed? Well, according to Calvinism, it was closed by inherent depravity. She was so depraved in body, soul, and spirit. That's what Calvinism teaches. Totally depraved. Depraved in all parts of her being. So depraved in body, soul, and spirit that she could not understand, could not believe without the Lord miraculously opening her heart. Well, let's see what kind of a person that Lydia was before the Lord opened her heart. Look back at Acts chapter 16 again, please. And let's just read about Lydia. Are we reading about an evil person? A person who is just so depraved that she cannot understand anything that God wants her to do in order to be saved unless He miraculously changes her heart. Look at verse 15. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. We've made this point before concerning Lydia. Let's go ahead and read verse 14. I'll come back to this. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. Now, this is before the Lord opened her heart, according to what the apostles, or excuse me, what Luke says in verse 14. Here is a woman who is a businesswoman, away from home on a business trip. She's worshiping God on a regular basis, though there's no regular meeting place for her to worship God. She, along with the other women, are willing to go out by riverside on the Sabbath, and they're not just worshiping pagan deities. She's worshiping God. She's doing that on a regular basis. Now that doesn't sound to me like a person who is so depraved in body, soul, and spirit, depraved in all of her being, that there's no possible way that she could come to an understanding of the truth, to an understanding of God's will, without her heart being miraculously opened. That's actually a description of the opposite of a kind of person, isn't it? It's the description of a person who's a very fine person, except for one thing. I believe this is the key. That one thing is she needs to know about Jesus Christ. She needs to know about the gospel. Otherwise, this is a very good woman. She is an example to any woman. She's an example to any man in this audience of the kind of people we ought to be, except she just needed to know about Jesus Christ. So I wouldn't say, if I just take what is recorded concerning her, I wouldn't say that she was evil, if that was what was keeping her from being able. And it certainly was not a refusal to hear, because you go back to verse 14, she was hearing before it said that the Lord opened her heart. So it wasn't that she was so prejudiced that she refused to hear. It wasn't that she was so evil she couldn't comprehend what was said. What is it about her that she needs to have her mind open? Well, notice, she was worshiping God in the only way she knew how. And of course, this on the Sabbath day implies it's Judaism. And we noted before concerning her, she was either a proselyte, that is, a Gentile who was converted to Judaism, or she was a Grecian, that is, a Jew who had adopted Greek practices and language, because she has a Greek name. Lydia is a Greek name. And so she is worshiping God the only way that she knew to worship God. She did not know about Christ. She simply, as the other Jews before they heard the gospel, was ignorant of God's plan for how she was to be saved. Just what the Apostle Paul said concerning his brethren, the Jews, his brethren after the flesh, the Jews. In Romans chapter 10, this is Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. It says, brethren, My heart, Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness they have a zeal for God, notice carefully please, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, now that doesn't mean that Jews were ignorant of the fact that God is righteous. Every Jew knew that God is righteous. They were ignorant of God's plan for them to be righteous and for us to be righteous. So they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. That is God's plan for them to be righteous. And that's true of many honest, religious, sincere, morally upright people in the world today. They're doing what they know, but they haven't yet heard the gospel. Their problem is ignorance. And now that doesn't mean that they're stupid. It doesn't mean that they're ignorant of everything. They could have a PhD. But if they don't know what God wants them to do and believe in order to be saved, then concerning salvation, they are ignorant. They need simply to be taught the gospel of Christ. And that really was the need that Lydia had. She simply needed to be taught the gospel of Christ. Well then, back to our original question. If that's the case, see, that's all you can get from the context. If that's the case, how did the Lord open her heart? And why is it that in this one case, in all the examples of salvation of the book of Acts, in this one case, it said the Lord opened her heart. Now let's go back to the beginning of our reading. Go with me, please, back to Acts chapter 16. And I wish that I had a map before you, but don't today. As you read this, Paul and Silas are on their Paul's second journey of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And it appears that they were going to simply stay within what is now be called the nation of Turkey. Asia Minor was what it was. Now that's not what it was called in the Roman Empire. And simply return to Antioch, which they had, or Jerusalem actually, from where they had originally gone out. But notice what happens in verse 6. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. When they had gone through Phrygia, now that's in Asia Minor, and the region of Galatia, that's north central Asia Minor, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now that's amazing to me if you stop and think about that. The Lord said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Asia was a large Roman province. And by the way, seven churches in Asia, and that doesn't get in all of them. The seven churches to which the book of Revelation is written were all in the Roman province of Asia. And Colossae is in Asia also, and it wasn't even addressed in that. So there's at least eight places there in Asia where later on there were churches. But at this point, the gospel has not been preached in the Roman province of Asia. And so the Lord said, go to all the world. They were simply going to go to this large Roman province, had some big cities in it, like Ephesus, which was the capital of Asia, and go to pray. Why would the Lord not want them to go there and preach the gospel? Well, it doesn't say. Well, let's read on, see if we can tell what's going on here. So the Lord said, don't you go into Asia. You're not to preach there. All right, back and reading furthermore. So after they'd come to Mysia, now that's up in north, western corner of Asia Minor. They tried to go into Bithynia, a region there close to and just above where Asia is, but the Spirit did not permit them. They're just going to preach the gospel. Wanted to preach the gospel in Asia? No, don't you go to Asia. Wanted to preach in Bithynia? No, don't you go to Bithynia. You can't do that. Well, don't you know they were mystified by all of this? All right, let's read on, see what's going on here. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Troas is a seacoast town, it's a port town. And from there, if they kept on going west, they'd have to cross the Adriatic Sea and come to the continent of Europe. And to this point, there's no record of the gospel ever having been preached on the whole continent of Europe. Oh, now we're getting something major here. And verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, Paul is an inspired apostle of Christ. It should be no surprise to us that he would receive a miraculous vision. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. We have a song this basement. I've heard the Macedonian call. And that, of course, that's a song that teaches us to take the gospel to everybody. And so here is the Macedonian call. A man appeared to Paul in a vision by night, saying, come over to Macedonia and to help us. Now then, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is across the Adriatic Sea, just to the north of Greece. It's a Roman province. Of course, the nation of Macedonia is there today. And that's where Alexander the Great was from, and Philip of Macedon was from. In fact, this city of Philippi, to which he was going to go, is named for Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great. And so he says, we immediately sought to go to Macedonia, concluding, this is key, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. It doesn't stop there so far as the things that are unusual. Therefore, sailing from Troas, verse 11, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. Samothrace is an island in the Adriatic Sea. And usually, because they're sailing from east to west, they would have to do what's called tacking, back and forth, because they'd be sailing into the wind. But they ran a straight course. The wind was unusually coming out of the southeast and would blow them to the northwest. That's unusual. But it did so. And so they went a straight course, and the next day to Neapolis. Usually it takes 2 days to get from Samothrace to the seaport of Neapolis. They went there in 1 day, and from there to Philippi. And then there were some women who were meeting by the riverside, and they went out and preached to them. Now you tell me, how did the Lord open Lydia's heart? How is it that in a special way it is said concerning Lydia, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord caused the Apostle Paul and those traveling with him to bypass large cities and entire Roman provinces in order to go and to preach to a little group of women meeting by a riverside because there was no place for them to worship. And the Lord had Paul preach to them, and the Lord opened her heart by sending the preacher the gospel to them. And it's no different in principle than in the case of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, where yes, there's miracles involved. The Lord sent the inspired preacher and he preached the gospel to the eunuch. And no different in principle than the case of Cornelius. Yes, there's miracles involved. The Lord sent the inspired apostle Peter to preach to Cornelius and his household. The miracle was performed on the inspired preachers. We should expect miracles. They're inspired men. But you know what? Lydia's heart was opened in the same way that your heart must be opened and my heart must be opened. And that's by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And that's how everyone's heart is opened, that they might be saved, come to Christ, and have eternal life. Well, there may be somebody in the audience this afternoon.